This is the Faith Conversations podcast. Here we bring people of faith to the table for honest and authentic conversations about personal faith journeys and what it is like to have a personal relationship with God. Hi, friends. Welcome to the Faith Conversations podcast. This is Jessica Cabrera, your host. I'm excited to be here today with Pastor Jim Powell of Burke Community Church. He's the pastor of discipleship, and we're going to hear his story. I do not know his story. I have two connections with Pastor Jim, and that is, first, he led the membership class that my husband and I took before we joined this church. And I remember at that time that he had kids that were the same age as my kids. And then we just kind of made the connection now that both of our sons that are in high school play football, mine being a running back and his being a receiver. So they're on opposite sides of the field playing one another in football, just a fun time loving youth sports. So excited to talk with you today, Jim. Thanks so much for being with us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Great. Well, I'm here to like learn as much as I can about what God has done in your life because I don't really know you very well.
Yeah.
And I am very interested to know just how things, you know, if you can tell us a little bit about your background and then tell us how you ended up coming into faith in Jesus.
Yeah. So I grew up right outside of Baltimore, Maryland, Catonsville, and I grew up in a house that we did not go to church. We always ask my dad, why don't we go to church? And he said it was because he grew up Catholic and he was an altar boy. And he said he went to church enough for all of us for the rest of our lives.
That's funny. Okay.
Yeah. And then my mom had grown up Methodist. And so they had an interesting deal. When they got married, they decided they were going to peace out from all church affiliated anything. Mm-hmm. And they were just going to live their lives separate from church and, you know, as far as I knew, separate from God as well. So for me, I grew up and really I didn't go to church and I didn't really know much about Jesus at all. I knew he had something to do with Christianity, but that was about it. Mm-hmm. So when my oldest brother, who's 4 years older than I am, went to high school, he met with a couple folks who were up there who were involved in an organization called Young Life. And he got involved in an organization called Young Life. And he ended up hearing the gospel and meeting Jesus. And then my next oldest brother, who's 2 years older than me, did the same when he got into high school. And so I thought, well, wow. This was, you just meet Jesus when you get into high school. That's how you do it. So I did. And so when I was a freshman in high school, I didn't know anything else about Jesus other than my older brothers. It seemed like it was a good thing for them.
Uh-huh.
Still wasn't going to church or anything like that. And so, but my freshman year, I get in there and I start to go to Young Life with them. And I go to a camp. This is in Western Maryland. Some cool October evening, I'm out and it's a Friday and a Saturday night sort of, I guess we came back on Sunday, but the Saturday night message was about how to give your life to Jesus. And they sent us out into the cool, you know, fall evening under the stars and said, hey, if you are ready to accept Christ into your life and to forgive you of your sins, then go take these 20 minutes and do that. And so that's what I did. And October of 1992, it would have been, I took my step and gave my life to Jesus Christ that night.
Wow.
And so it was a powerful weekend for me, obviously. And the coolest thing about Young Life, for me anyway, my experience was that we were out there with leaders, college age, mm-hmm. a little bit older leaders who really cared about us and cared about both our coming to faith in Christ, but also growing in Christ. And so over the course of the next, couple weeks, couple months, couple years, really, I had some leaders who cared for me, loved me, and I trusted them and felt safe with them. I could be myself with them. And there was some other high school guys who were my age who sort of were on the same type of journey with me. And we would meet for Bible studies and we would learn more about Jesus through those studies and just through how these leaders modeled Christ for us. Mm-hmm. So that's how I came to know Jesus Christ as my Savior, but also that was the start of my journey was learning more about him in community and with some great mentors.
Yeah. Wow. I love that because I think that youth organizations are so critically important. And the thing that pops out to me the most is when you were going to this Young Life retreat, who would have known that that would be the beginning of a journey that would actually lead you into being called into ministry and pastoring others? And I just think that alone is remarkable. I want to go back to that moment when you were your 20 minutes of, if you want this, go and do it. You know, Lee, I'm curious, just unpack that a little bit for me. Leading up to it, were you feeling a sense of, were you thinking, I think I might want to do this, or were you curious, or were you more so like, okay, they said I should do this, and so I'm going to go give it a shot? You know, I'm just kind of curious, like, what was your mindset, and do you remember those 20 minutes? I mean, is that something that's memorable to you? I'm just, tell me more.
Yeah, no, good questions. Well, as you might remember, I said, so my older brothers had gone and done this, and I didn't know much about what they had done, but I knew that was something that seemed like it had transformed their lives.
Okay, yeah.
And so when the speakers started talking about Jesus, I really, even though I had no idea about who Jesus was or what he did or why he was important, because my brothers had gone before me, I was like, okay, I'm open to this.
Right.
Almost like an
immediate trust of sorts.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
This is a good thing. I've seen good things come from this.
Right. It was almost like I was, like the Lord, in retrospect, the Lord had been preparing my heart, unbeknownst to me, for this point where I wasn't resistant. I was almost ready. I was like, well, I think I've been waiting to be a freshman so that I could find out about Jesus.
Right.
And when it was presented, you know, on Friday night, the talk was, hey, as humans, we're born in sin and we all have need to, we can't be with God without having a Savior. You know, we can't get to God on our own. And then the second talk was, well, Jesus is the Savior that can bridge the gap between you and your Creator, God. But it's up to you to accept that invitation. Mm-hmm. You know, John 3:16, God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And so take these 20 minutes and you have the opportunity to say yes to Jesus. I don't remember actually how he phrased it,
right?
What that step looked like for me. And honestly, as I look back, I think for a lot of people that salvation step looks different. I mean, that you could probably talk to 10 different people and they have 10 different ways they would even phrase.
Oh yeah. Actually, I've got 28 of them on this podcast.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure.
Yeah.
So I don't even remember what it was like for me.
Yeah.
But I do remember, it's funny. I remember looking at the stars and I remember thinking, oh, this is the moment where you're supposed to look for a sign from God, like a shooting star or something like this. I don't know why that had occurred to me. I don't think I saw one, but nonetheless, I was like, this is, and I talked to God. This was the first time I had talked to God really in a way that felt like he was listening. Where he cared about what I had to say.
Yeah.
And so I remember saying, I want you in my life.
Yeah.
And that's about what I remember. And then the bell rang and 20 minutes were up.
Right.
And I went back to what we did after that is we went back to our cabins with the other, you know, folks in our group, the other, you know, high schoolers in our group and then our leader. And then we got to talk about what we talked with God about during that 20 minutes. And I said, you know, I accepted Jesus into my heart as my Savior. And there were a couple other guys in the cabin that did as well. Uh-huh. And some other guys, you know, they had been Christians already. Yeah. And so they said they were praying for other people or whatever. But Yeah. So for me, it was that was definitely the sort of the distinct moment.
Thank you for giving us that kind of behind the scenes detail there, because I feel now that you've described that to me, I feel like I could almost like I was there, you know, watching it on a video screen or something, Jim going off into the woods during the 20 minutes. But what's important to me about that is that it, just so many different things. One thing is just how vulnerable and real it is. I think so many people who maybe are curious about faith or who are thinking about Jesus or wondering what is salvation? You know, we can get into analysis paralysis, just completely overcomplicate it. Whenever God in this regard is very simple, he's mysterious, but he's very simple. And so just a simple, you know what? I want you in my life.
Yeah.
And that is and having a vulnerable surrender to God is as simple as it gets, you know, but a beautiful way to show how God, draws us in and meets us there. And he's not complicated about it. You know, he's very simple in that regard. And so I think that's really beautiful about what you just shared.
But I think, and probably on this podcast, you'll get different ways that people, respond to that invitation or connect with Jesus, like to your point. And I've seen this in the church. I mean, you can talk to two different people, and some people are like, they want evidence.
Right.
They need to know if the Bible is going to make sense, like cover to cover. They need to make sure the certainty.
Right.
And there's reasons for that in people's lives. But there's some people who, like me, for example, I didn't need that at all. I think the Holy Spirit had just worked on my heart. And
right.
I probably couldn't tell you one book in the Bible at that point.
Right.
Other than maybe what he was teaching out of that night. Something like that.
Yeah.
But it didn't even matter to me. I didn't need to have verses memorized. I didn't need to know the books of the Bible. I didn't need to know any of that.
Yeah.
I just needed to know there was a God and that I was created and purposed to be with him forever. And the way that I could be with him forever was through the sacrifice of Jesus and accepting him into my life as my Lord and Savior. That was it for me. That sounds good.
Exactly.
I don't need to know anything else.
Right. Yeah.
But not everybody's like that.
No, they're not. I think it just shows the accessibility of God,
yeah.
You know, because it is something that some people do need, that process, that deliberate process. But like you said, it's also perfectly fine because God is extremely accessible.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
he's
accessible to us. And so it's perfectly fine if you are a person that's like, what am I supposed to do? It's very simple. You can just tell him that you want him and move forward. So, okay, before we get into any other ways that, you know, your experiences with God evolved over time, I would love to hear, now that you've lived a life of faith since that moment and kind of how it spun you into some, what we would call discipleship of growing and understanding Jesus more and more. I am curious, now that you've had all this time, what are characteristics of God that really stick out to you? I'm just wondering, what are the things about his being, about who he is and what he's like, that kind of surfaced to the forefront for you?
For me, it's sort of almost some of the seemingly contrasting character qualities of him, meaning he's all powerful. So, for example, that night under the stars, you could look up and be like, well, this is God that created all the stars.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, at the very same time, he is a God who is deeply personal and actually cares very much about me and my sadness and my hurts and my joys and my triumphs. Like, he knows me inside and out, but yet he's almighty at the same time.
Yeah.
So
it's hard to fathom, right?
It really is. Yeah. But for me, you know, for me, that is also what draws a huge distinction between, you know, some of the world religions. You know, God is, for many of them, is all powerful, but not relational.
Mm-hmm.
And so to have a God, I just love, like, for example, I mean, our two greatest holidays that we celebrate, one's coming up here, Christmas, and then Easter. You think about Christmas, John 1:14, the Word, all-powerful God, became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us humans. I mean, the birth of Jesus Christ. What a demonstration of the most powerful meeting the most sort of meek and mm-hmm. surrendered.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that God could be both at the same mm-hmm. time is incredible. Same thing, you know, Easter, the Good Friday in particular, mm-hmm. his work on the cross, the most powerful God doing the most powerful thing that has ever been done
mm-hmm.
on earth and of all time,
mm-hmm.
but yet in a way where it cost him the most and he was the most vulnerable and surrendered. So I just think the contrast of God's character qualities shows us the breadth of who he is.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's the kind of thing that's the most impressive and attractive and alluring about God.
I agree, especially because I like the fact that God is mysterious.
Yeah.
And I think some people really grapple with that, but I'm glad that my God is someone who I can't fully understand,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and these juxtaposed positions that you're talking about, or these contrasting characteristics, it's the same in that regard. It's so overwhelmingly difficult for me to even comprehend that it's the very thing that just causes me to both like jump with joy and fall to my knees all at the same time. You know, he's just absolutely remarkable in character. And so I appreciate you drawing that out with accentuating these contrast in his character. I love that so much.
And I like what you said, and he should be.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's so important that God is beyond our scope of understanding.
Yes.
Like even just you and I talking about that, we try to describe it.
Exactly.
But really, we're just putting finite words on a concept
exactly.
and a truth that's infinite. So and that's the kind of God that we want, not one we can wrap our minds around, but
right.
one that gives us a little taste of who he is,
yes.
but yet in reality is so much more.
Yes. And I think it's phenomenal that he has also revealed himself to us,
yeah.
you know, and so we even have reasons to try to articulate it. You know, we obviously have the revelation of who he is in the Bible, but we also have the revelation of who he is in our own lives.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in these ways, like we're talking about you and the 20 minutes at the Young Life Retreat. Mm-hmm. I mean, and hopefully we'll talk about a few more here in a second, but just really thinking about how God reveals himself to us on this earth through his word, through his people, through the power of his Holy Spirit. And he's giving us things to try to articulate, you know? I mean, and that's part of what this podcast is all about. It's, can we put some words to these mysterious experiences,
mm-hmm.
you know? And let's share with others what it really is, because a lot of these experiences with God are behind the scenes. Very few people, if anyone, are privy to them. But yet they're remarkable about who he is and how he interacts with us. So I just want to kind of give a stage to that. So let's talk about let's talk about Jim's life after that. You know, you talked about being kind of going into a season of being mentored and learning from other people who were a little bit ahead of you and so forth. So what else would you like to share with us after that? And are there any experiences with God over the years that you'd like to talk about?
Yeah, well, I think that I entered into college and became a Young Life leader as a result as a result of how my mentors had demonstrated you know, what mentorship was and the importance of it to me. And so I went into college and became a leader and got a group of, you know, guys that I met with and got to model who my leader was to me, to them. And then that actually caused me to go on Young Life staff. So right after, and that, so in a way that was my prompting into ministry mm-hmm. itself. Was when I graduated college, my wife and I went on full-time Young Life staff in the ministry because we were like, man, there is nothing better mm-hmm. than to get to do this. So we went down to Texas. And so I got to pour into high school kids' lives and middle school kids' lives. And at the same time, I was able to maintain having some adult mentors or some older mentors in my life as well. And sort of, I enjoyed, it didn't go perfectly all the time, but I enjoyed having a mentor who was pouring into me, but yet there were people who I was getting to mm-hmm. pour some of my heart, my effort out into as well. And I would say that was the rhythm of a lot of my ministry over many years. I've been in full-time ministry now for 25 years. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of it was growing as, you know, as I exercised those, you know, leadership and then, but also being poured into. But I have to tell you, I think what I would say is when I think about spiritual growth, mm-hmm. the biggest moments of spiritual growth for me have always been in the tough times. Mm. It really is like there was a lot of victories along the way. There were a lot of things to celebrate and kids coming to know the Lord and great camp trips and mm-hmm. great Young Life clubs where things were just going well. Mm-hmm. But man, it was when I bumped up against some challenges in my life that there were moments where I felt like, this is the time when God backs off a little bit, mm. or I back off from mm. God. But in fact, and especially in retrospect, I see those being the moments where certainly God leaned in the most and where I grew the mm-hmm. most in my faith journey. My favorite book of all time still to this day is by Craig Barnes, and it's called When God Interrupts. Mm. And it's about all these interruptions. It's about tough stuff. It's about the hard times, these things. And his thesis in the book is that so often when we get stuck in the middle of that difficult time, all we want to do is say, I want to get back to normal. Mm. I want to get back mm-hmm. to how things were before this crisis. And what he says is that's not where God is taking you. He's taking you to a place that you would not have been able to get to mm-hmm. Outside of going through this particular circumstance. So these tough things that we run into, God uses those to grow us mm-hmm. in ways that we just would not be able to grow without that mm-hmm. terrible circumstance. And I was listening to a talk one time from someone who likened this, his illustration was like shrubs or trees. There are certain shrubs or trees, and I didn't do the scientific background on this to know if it's true or not, although I don't know why he would have made it up. Mm-hmm. But there are some shrubs and trees that in the winter, when obviously all the leaves fall off, nothing is, you look at it and nothing is happening. There's no mm-hmm. fruit. There's nothing green on it at all. But that's when the roots actually grow the deepest is in the middle of the winter. Mm. And I think that's true for us. I mm-hmm. think that's true for us too, is that when we're really going through some tough stuff, that's when the roots grow deep yeah. in our faith. And then there's going to be a time of fruit bearing and harvest right. and things like that. But he does use those hard things to, mm-hmm. to really grow us.
Yeah, he really does. And show us who he is. I think he not only show us who he is, but help us to be able to reveal that for others as well. The core Bible verse behind the heart of the ministry that I do and this podcast is Isaiah 50, 5:13. Mm-hmm. And it starts with how the word says that the briar will become a cypress, mm-hmm. and the thorn bush will become a myrtle. Mm-hmm. And then it follows up with saying, and it is to make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that will not be cut off.
Yeah.
And the concept of these thorns and briars becoming the type of established, strong tree of strength and shade and fruit, right? Mm-hmm. And for it not to be so that I'm comfortable or you're comfortable or so that, you know, or I feel strong or you feel strong. That's not it at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is to make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that won't be cut off. And so right. to be able to be a part of eternal things is absolutely mind-blowing. Mm-hmm. Back to the mm-hmm. point that we were saying earlier of God being hard to, yeah. you know, conceptualize. But I really do agree with what you're saying, and I've experienced it myself as well. So thank you for sharing about that.
Yeah.
Well, as we wrap up, I'd love to hear, through your faith journey, what you've learned about God, these concepts we've been talking about here today. If there's someone listening who is maybe struggling to believe, maybe they're on the fringes of their faith right now, or maybe they're just like we were just talking mm-hmm. about, maybe they're in one of those hard spots and mm-hmm. it's, and they're thinking, God, I don't know if you're good. You know, like I had that experience. What would you say to that person that might be struggling to believe right now?
It is all over scripture. It's all over scripture. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's particularly more in one place or another, but is the value of community mm-hmm. in our faith journey. And our discipleship journey, somewhere along the way in the American church, it got miscommunicated that this was a just between you and God thing. And there's some elements of our faith journey that are between us and God personally. Like, remember, I went out under the mm-hmm. stars and that was me and God.
Right.
And so there are. But by and large, our growth happens in the context of community. It happens with others. And there's so many reasons for that, like you mentioned.
Yeah.
When we're struggling to believe that God is true or that he loves us, we can come alongside of some other people or they can come alongside of us and show us that God loves us by them loving us. They're a place who we're able to be able to cry. We're able to be able to feel safe, just like Jesus, Jesus invites us mm-hmm. to cry out to him, to feel safe with him. So community is really, in my estimation, a God-ordained way to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. Because look, it's true is that, you know, sometimes we talk about discipleship and spiritual growth in the context of the disciples walking with Jesus. Okay, well, Jesus really isn't here physically anymore, but when he left us with his Spirit, the Holy mm-hmm. Spirit, who does dwell in us as Christians, but especially active in the context of community.
Yeah.
And so, like, I'm a part of Ironworks. We meet every Wednesday, and there's 10 other guys, actually more than that now, at my table who, 2 years ago, I was really going through something that was really hard. And I remember sharing it with those guys, and it was so cool because it was a safe environment for mm-hmm. me to share. And they all understood, they nodded, they put their arms around me, and then they prayed for me. Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you, like, for weeks leading up to that night, I was physically just feeling really heavy. Like, there was just a heavy weight on my shoulders and my face, on my heart, like, just heaviness. Mm-hmm. And when they prayed for me, that when I finally shared
mm-hmm.
that,
mm-hmm.
and they prayed for me that night, that heaviness lifted.
Right.
And that was the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. working through community to
release me. Yeah.
And to show me freedom, to show me himself.
Right.
So that would be my encouragement for people. And community is beneficial when you're doubting too, because we've had for example, we've had guys in our group that have come in and they're like, I'm going through the ringer and I don't even know if God's real anymore. And we don't sit there and like, oh, well, let me explain to you why he is. Yeah. But we get to come alongside of them and say, man, we can understand why you feel that way. That mm-hmm. sounds really hard. Man, mm-hmm. we've been there too. And there's something that the Holy Spirit does in those moments that really encourage the heart of the person who's being mm-hmm. challenged. Mm-hmm. So that would always be my encouragement to people who, whether they're just going through it or whether they're having intellectual second thoughts or doubts mm-hmm. or just confused about what Christianity means or what it entails, mm-hmm. is to find someone who is a Christian or a couple people mm-hmm. and have a conversation.
Yeah.
With them.
Yeah. That's great advice. I think the great deceiver will want us to isolate mm-hmm. and to stay in our head on yeah. that and let it dig a hole inside of us and entangle us. And we find freedom in community with the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. and with others. So great advice, Jim. Yeah. Thank you so much for this conversation. It's been great to learn more about your journey.
Oh, thank you for having me. Appreciate Thanks. It.
Go to the description of today's episode to find more information about what we discussed. If you like this podcast, please click follow, share it with a friend, or leave us a review. And get excited because new episodes release every week.